The story of Elisha. As Elijah's nominated successor, Elijah found Elisha as he worked the fields, ploughing with his team of oxen. Elijah strode up, took off his cloak, and very deliberately placed it on Elisha's shoulders. You understand what this means, Elisha? You know what it is I'm doing? Elisha wasn't at all sure. I think so. That is, yes, I understand. Good, you must follow me. But I can't just drop everything. At least let me go and say goodbye to my parents. Elijah said, I didn't actually mean this instant. But we will need to leave soon. We have much work to do. So Elisha followed Elijah, learning the life of a prophet. And by following Elijah, he too made his way into the court of the tyrant King Ahab. Obadiah, his old friend, came rushing out of the palace. Elijah, what are you doing? If the king sees you, he'll kill you. God has a message for Ahab, which I, Elijah, must deliver. He burst in as Ahab and his queen Jezebel were enjoying some fruit. Ah, enjoying the apples, are we? So, said Ahab, my old enemy, we meet again. What is it this time? Elijah exploded. Everything you do, everything you've ever done has been evil. Even the fruit you eat is stolen from a man you murdered. You killed a man just for some apples. You will die. Every male in your family will die. Your wife will die. This is not me speaking, but God. You will die and dogs will drink your blood. Jezebel rolled her eyes. Oh, I've heard it all before. Ahab dropped the apple. Yes, my dear, but the rain. Remember the time when the drought came? What if he's right? Oh, don't be ridiculous, said Jezebel. He's just trying to scare you, that's all. But what if he's right? Elijah stalked off. What do you mean, if? Come on, Elisha, we must leave. Ahab ripped off his royal robes, distraught. God has seen what we've done. We're doomed. Covering himself with some sackcloth, he went to a corner and lamented, woe to me, woe to us, we're all doomed. Jezebel was unmoved. Oh, really, darling, don't go on. We've nothing to fear. Clearly, Elijah had struck a chord, finally, with Ahab. Don't you see it, do you? Because of the things we've done, things you made me do, Jezebel, God will stick to his word. I know he will. Because he'd shown some contrition, God allowed Ahab to live longer, but it was only a punishment deferred. Ahab went to war disguised as a common soldier lurking at the rear of the battle, but a stray arrow found its mark. It was a slow, painful end as he lay propped against his chariot, bleeding to death. Later that evening, dogs came and licked the blood from the chariot, as Elijah said they would. Some years went past, and still Elijah and Elisha, who was learning the prophet's ropes, wandered around Israel with their message. And Elijah said to Elisha, you'd have thought that after what had happened to Ahab, his successor, King Ahaziah, would have been more careful, but no. At the first sign of trouble, he goes off to consult a 10-foot wooden statue. No wonder he didn't last very long. Elisha, my time is coming to an end. God has called me home at last. Elisha said, oh, master, master, please do not talk about it. Don't worry, said Elijah. God has everything planned. You'll see now. First, we must cross the river Jordan. Let's go. Master, God told me to cross here. But it's too deep, said Elisha. I said God told me to. And Elijah almost skipped across the river. See, there you are. What do I see? What I mean? The water, said Elisha. As your cloak touched the river, it just it just dried up. Now, come on, we don't have all day. Now, Elisha, before I go, is there anything you want me to do for you? Elisha thought for a moment. Could you give me the share of your power that your son would have inherited? Let me be as a son to you, master. Said Elijah, that's a really difficult request to grant, but I'll tell you what. If you see me when I am taken from you, you shall have your wish. Just at that moment, they both looked up. Suddenly the whole sky had changed. A huge, bright light came quickly towards them. And as it got brighter and brighter, they could see through the light and in the light a flaming chariot of fire. Look out, look out! Elijah, what's happening? Don't leave me, don't go! But as the chariot swooped down, it took Elijah up to be with God, the God he had served all his life. And Elisha watched, hardly believing what was happening. Through tear-filled eyes, Elisha saw his master's cloak fall from the sky. And as the cloak fell, Elisha called out one last time, "Great prophet of Israel, don't leave me!" But as Elisha picked up the cloak, he knew that he would never see his much loved master again. And he knew that his work was just beginning. He stood by the banks of the Jordan, Elijah's cloak in his hands, and said to himself, "How can I carry on your work, Elijah? I thought I'd be better prepared than this. There's one way to find out, I suppose." And so Elisha struck the water's edge with his cloak, and as he did so, the waters parted, as they had for Elijah. It was then that Elisha knew God was with him. Elijah had spoken for God in the courts of kings and nobles, but Elisha spoke for God in the lives of ordinary people. The power of God so filled Elisha that he was able to raise a young boy from death. When the Arameans attacked Israel, it was Elisha who prayed that the invaders would be blinded and unable to fight. It was Elisha who led them to the Israelites and who spared their lives. Utterly refusing to accept payment of any kind, Elisha cured Naaman, general of the Aramean army, of leprosy. As he obeyed Elisha and bathed in the waters of the River Jordan, Naaman knew for himself what the prophets had said was true. There is no God in the whole world except in Israel. In the city of Samaria, the capital city of Israel, was besieged, and the people grew so desperate that they were reduced to cannibalism. Elisha was able to see beyond the misery around them, even risking the anger of the king, and said, "Your Majesty, do not fear. Tomorrow there will be food in abundance. God has told me." But even though Elisha was able to work the power of God amongst Israel's enemies, the Israelites, thinking that their troubles were over, they were very much mistaken, because the more they turned away from God, despite all the signs and miracles, the greater their problems became. A great darkness was about to fall on Jerusalem, the holy city itself.